now that would reinforce her commitment to be there. This made everyone curious, so Mary Jane explained. Our life is really full, and we've chosen much of what fills it to the brim. While I'm going to work hard on setting better boundaries and establishing priorities, I want to be here now for each moment of the life I have. I want to be fully present for each moment and stop living in the future and the past. I guess I want to bring the fish philosophy to the life I have, whatever it may include. That evening, after Grandma and the kids were settled in, Lonnie and Mary Jane were ready to carve out some time for conversation. Mary Jane said, "I'm not ready to go to bed. Do you have enough energy to talk for a while? I want to get started on our delayed conversation." "Sure, sweetheart. But first I want to tell you how I really like the fact that you chose an attitude to reinforce being there. The ingredients of the fish philosophy do overlap a great deal, and your choice emphasizes how you can use one ingredient to strengthen another. That is really cool. I think I did that at the market most of the time. There were things I didn't like and wanted to change about the market or my situation, but moment to moment I tried to be lighthearted and playful. Bring some joy to the world. Be there for other human beings, and choose my attitude wisely. The combination makes each one stronger." "Yes, let's talk. I think we did a good thing today, and I believe it was a special kind of learning experience for the children as well. I'm wide awake from the excitement of the day. Let's grab something to drink and go up to the office where we can feast our eyes in the sparkling lights of Seattle at night. I have something to ask before we get into the heavy stuff."
The conversations required for a strong marriage.
As they got comfortable, Lonnie asked, "May I bring something up that I need to get settled before we talk? I may have mentioned earlier that I have a loose end that I need to get settled, and you might remember that Jack said he had a surprise and I need to get back to Jack." "Sure, honey." "Well, you won't believe it. Jack has asked me to work weekends at the fish market on a part-time basis once I get settled in school and at the hospital. He says he'll let me work 2 10-hour days on the weekends and pay me time and a half. That's like 60% of my old salary, and I could avoid taking out the student loan then. What do you think? I told Jack I'd get back to him after I talk with you." Mary Jane put her head in her hands and audibly moaned. Then she just held that position. The room temperature seemed to drop as the silence lengthened. Finally, Lonnie couldn't stand it any longer and asked, "Hey, what is it, honey? Did I say something wrong? Are you all right?" With wet eyes, she looked up at Lonnie. "I'm mad and angry, Lonnie, as much with myself for letting it get to this point as with you for not wanting something else. The fact that you would even consider working weekends tells me we're in two different places in this marriage. For better or worse, yes, but not parallel lives. I want to have a real conversation about our life together. I'm angry, and I want to talk about what we want and why we want it. What do we want in this marriage? Is the marriage just a large piggy bank into which we put as much as we can, even if it means spending all of our time working? If so, to what end? I can't believe you're getting so mad. I thought this was just a little thing that I could take care of before we got into the serious stuff. I guess the little thing isn't so little after all. In fact, the little thing seems to be a really big thing." "Mary Jane, you know I've always supported myself. And growing up the way I did, I like the feeling of security that comes when I have money in my pocket and no debts. It was hard to give control of the money to you, but it was a reasonable thing to do. After all, you make more and have more knowledge about finances. But it's always felt a little strange, you know, kind of unmanly. No, more like out of control. I thought you would be excited that I had found a way to keep from borrowing money for school and could continue making a contribution to our expenses. This may sound strange, but I never thought of our relationship as something we could create. I thought of us living in a world that tells us what we have to do and making the best of it. But I didn't think that way at the market, so I'm not sure why I thought that here. At the market, I knew we could create something extraordinary, and we did. Look, Mary Jane, if we need to take on debt in order to have a life along the way, then I'll try to swallow my fears. But I want you to understand the depth of those fears and hear me clearly. When homeless people walk through the market, I see myself in their faces. It could easily have been me. That's not an overstatement. It could easily have been me. I was that close. Mary Jane thought deeply before she responded. I love you, Lonnie, and I love being with you. I love the way you interact with the children. They learn so much from you. I still get a feeling of excitement when I see you walking up the sidewalk. I enjoy your intensity and sense of humor. The time we have together is precious and special. When a moment of life passes, it's gone. I just want to be sure we are consciously balancing the way we spend our life, allocating our life energy to the things we choose, not just what comes along. I want great moments today, and also want us to plan well for the future. I don't want to pass through this marriage saving lots of money but missing the moments, only to find that I have saved for a wealthy widowhood and missed the marriage. It's about balance. It's about proportion and value, and it's about conversation. I don't think the market would have maintained its energy if you guys hadn't talked candidly with each other. Am I right? We talked all the time, and we learned how to talk about the difficult and scary things. Things like attitude and motivation and accountability. We also talked about skill and presentation and safety, but it was the human stuff that made us world famous.
The seeds of new growth in a relationship are planted by real conversations.
Should I put off Washington State for a while, Mary Jane, and go back to a regular work week? I know I can get a nurse's aide job in 24 hours. No, Lonnie, that's not what I want. I was ecstatic when you were accepted at Washington State. Seeing you grow in confidence as a learner as you went through the LPN program was marvelous and exciting for me. Mary Jane, you asked a question earlier that got me thinking. You asked what we are building with this marriage or something like that. Well, let's talk about that. We have left too many things unsaid. You didn't know my motives for wanting to work at the market on weekends, and I don't know why you're getting so involved in community activities at this time in our life together. Let's go back to the basics, the way we do at the market. Let's talk about our vision for this marriage and what part we each play in bringing that vision to life. And let's do that as often as we can, starting now. Where do you want to start? Well, let's start by talking about money, and then if we have time, we could talk about sex. Lonnie? Lonnie smiled and began, I'm quite happy to say yes to home life and no to weekends at the market. I'm not sure anyone but the other guys know how physically exhausting the work actually is. I just thought it was a necessity. Trust me, I am ready to leave the market. So let's talk about money. How are we doing? What's the deal with the outside activities? I'm suddenly conscious of the fact that I've taken on all these activities and I didn't even ask you what you thought. I have taken on the expectation of my new job that I'll represent the organization in the community. I'll need to do some of that, but I have a great deal of flexibility. I'm sorry for not talking to you about this. I appreciate that, Mary Jane, but I think your community work and weekends at the market are very different in nature. I was excited about the money, not the work. I'm ready for a change, but I think representing First Guarantee in the community is about more than just money for you. I think it's about personal and professional growth. Am I right? That was certainly true in the beginning, but I'm not sure now. I think I could do less and still enjoy the growth and challenge. It's more about learning how to say no to people who ask you to come talk about your success or get involved in this or that worthy cause. Okay. There seems to have been plenty of miscommunication and blame to go around. What are we going to do now? I like the idea of talking about our vision. I just wish we had a word that was less corporate. Vision, mission, goals, objectives, values, everything measurable, plan, strategy, drill down. I'm afraid the connotation for me is corporate speak. So what will we call it? What will we call this thing we will be using to guide our life? It.
Yes. What'll we call it?
It.
Do I hear an echo?
No, but it's beginning to sound like Abbott and Costello doing Who's On First.
You want to call it It?
Why not? What if we committed to a lifelong conversation about our It and the way we are living it?
Sounds good to me.
You start this conversation. Okay. Our It will contain support for the growth of each member of the family. Now you.
We'll make our choices between more money and more time together, with the knowledge that we are not spending time, we are spending life. And the moments we have together are precious and valuable ways to spend life.
We can call that the 401k clause of our It.
Cute.
Lonnie and Mary Jane talked late into the night and brainstormed the ingredients of their It. They had never talked so deeply about anything, and found as they talked that they had a strong desire to grow a very special relationship with each other, and they were both willing to have the conversations necessary to do that. They also felt the surge of energy that comes from finally sitting down and having the difficult conversations that are the foundation of a successful relationship. Just before they fell into each other's arms and went to sleep, Mary Jane exclaimed, "Lonnie, I'm excited. Let's keep a list of the things we want in our life together. Let's be clear about what we value and bring fish to those things. And you know, we might not be able to solve all of our problems. Some will take compromise or doing things that might not be our first choice. For all of those things, and for each of our moments, we have our secret weapon. Fish. We can always make life better by the way we do the things we have to do anyway."
What is our vision of life together? What are we creating with our energy? Lonnie and Mary Jane clarified their It.
Over the days and weeks that followed, Lonnie and Mary Jane discussed, debated, and refined their It until they had a list of contents that they both liked.
Our It. We will be a couple that errs on the side of too much communication. Communication about our finances, financial priorities, and spending plans will be an area where we take the time to make sure we're clear. We will never sacrifice time together or family time for money without a discussion, and we will never assume that we know what the other wants and desires. We will bring fish into our life so that even a busy schedule has an element of fun, and when we are together, we will be there for each other. We will model in our relationship the things we want our children to learn. We will cherish the time with Grandma Ida as a special gift and an opportunity to serve another. We will be aware of the many important life lessons our children can learn from our extended family. We will support each other's learning, growth, and creativity. We will recognize that a healthy lifestyle is always worth the effort. We will leave a legacy by the way we raise our children. Our guiding questions will be, are we having fun? Are we serving others? The 401k clause. While we understand and will teach our children the importance of planning for the future, we will emphasize the importance of living each moment fully. We will teach by example that happiness does not come from having things, but from giving things to others. Happiness is not a function of the size of one's 401k, but the size of one's heart. Contrary to popular belief, we can't have it all, at least not all at the same time. We make better choices when those choices are guided by our It. Hello, life.
It was a Monday morning, and Mary Jane traveled across town to receive the results from her annual physical exam. Mary Jane Ramirez, come with me, please. You're in exam room two. Thank you. She was only there a minute before Linda, her doctor, arrived to discuss the results. Linda was a physician who knew how to be there. She had an active practice, but always seemed unrushed. Mary Jane respected the fact that she always took the time to explain things, and she was a great listener.
Your tests seem fine, Mary Jane, and I think I know why you've been so tired.
New marriage, two growing children, professional growth, late-night discussions, and a great but demanding job. I guess I might be pushing the envelope, don't we all these days?
I guess we do. My youngest asked me if I could be on call for him instead of everyone else. I think that was a signal. But I have some additional news for you that may explain why you've been feeling run down. I know. I've put on some weight. I really plan to do something about it, Linda. Well, you may want to do one additional test on your own. What's that, Linda? A body mass test? You call it BMI, right? I already know I'm overweight. A pregnancy test. You've got to be kidding. Is it bad news? Would you rather talk about your weight? No. Well, I don't think so. Lonnie and I decided we'd like to have a child together, but we would just let nature take its course. When nothing happened, we just stopped talking about it. We haven't even discussed this for over a year. It wasn't the only thing we let life crowd out of our conversations. Well, nature took its time, and it definitely took its course. It's sad that one of my first thoughts was that I now have an excuse for some of the extra pounds. I hate to burst your bubble, but you haven't been pregnant for 2 years. Right. Thanks for the reminder. So, what are you going to do? Wow. I don't think I'm going to work today. I want to go home and tell Lonnie before he leaves for school. Sounds like a plan, Mary Jane. And by the way, congratulations.
Lonnie gets the news.
Lonnie's face was immediately enveloped by a gigantic smile, and he shouted, "Wow! That's great!" Then, just as quickly as the smile came, it was replaced with seriousness. "And how do you feel about this addition to our it?" Mary Jane was still reacting to Lonnie's excitement. "You mean you're happy about the baby? It's another one of those things that we haven't been talking about, and I wasn't sure. Are you really happy?" Lonnie looked surprised. "How could you not know that?" "I don't bring it up because after we found out that we were capable of having a child, I didn't want it to be a source of unnecessary pressure." "Oh, Mary Jane, you didn't know?" "I guess I didn't, Lonnie. I'm so glad we're making a more conscious effort to talk now. I feel an odd sense of direction, Lonnie, as strange as that may seem. There are certain givens in our life, the baby, mom, the kids, and our need to keep food on the table and a roof over our heads. Lonnie, I think if we continue to invest time in clarifying our dreams and hopes for this marriage, it will be time well spent. I want us to continue to discuss and refine our it. Obviously, it already needs updating. So go to school and enjoy every minute of the time you are there. You've been working toward this for years. What time do you think you'll be home?"
"Today is the heavy schedule, so I won't see you until about 5:30.
"See you then, sweetheart. Our life changed course today."
"It did, but on a more mundane level. Do you want me to pick up something for dinner?"
"No. I have a refrigerator full of leftovers, and I think it may be a good idea to skip fast food for a while. Just bring yourself home, and promise we can keep the conversation alive."
Mary Jane and Lonnie did continue to keep their conversation alive. They talked every day in a way they had never talked before.
A real conversation is the ultimate commitment to a relationship. A call from Brad's teacher.
Only 2 weeks had passed, but now that Mary Jane knew she was pregnant, the clothes seemed a lot tighter. "I should look and see if I have any maternity clothing in the attic, or if I need to do some shopping. It won't be long before I'll need it." It was Saturday, and Lonnie had taken Grandma Ida and the kids to the park near the Space Needle. Grandma hauled out her photography equipment and announced she was going to teach the kids how to take good pictures. They seemed excited at the prospect, but Lonnie was ecstatic. Photography was one of those things he had always wanted to do, but never seemed to have time for. The phone rang.
"Hello, this is Mary Jane."
"This is Brad's teacher, Millie Johnson. I hope you don't mind my calling on Saturday. You're a hard person to reach at work."
"I'm sorry you had trouble reaching me, Ms. Johnson. Call me Millie, please. And I actually prefer to call on the weekends. It avoids all the phone tag."
"We've met a couple times, but I'm sure you have trouble keeping all the parents straight."
"Actually, I remember you quite well, Mary Jane. That's the way it is with the parents of kids who stand out."
"Ouch. Is Brad acting up again? I was hoping that silence meant things were better. You seem to think he might have a learning disability."
"Oh, yes. Actually, I'd forgotten about that.
He seems to be doing well with his schoolwork. In fact, lately, he always seems to have such a great attitude when he comes to school. But something quite extraordinary has happened. Yesterday, he did the most marvelous thing. What exactly did he do? You know we believe in mainstreaming our special students in this school system. And so this year, we have an autistic boy in the class. It's been a challenge. Sometimes Carr's behavior is a bit bizarre and he can't do some basic things like tying his shoes. Most kids avoid him unless I intervene, and I guess that's understandable. A few make fun of him, and that's unacceptable, but not surprising. I've been at a loss as to what to do, and it's been stressful. But the most amazing thing happened. Carr was walking around with his shoelaces flapping on the playground, and Brad asked him if he could tie them for him. He did, and Carr shook his hand with a smile and patted Brad on the back. It was such a beautiful moment. Later, Brad asked if he could move his desk next to Carr's, and he's been helping Carr ever since. They've established a kind of friendship, and Carr's behavior has also changed. He's responding to the kindness and acting out less. You have one fine boy, Mary Jane, and I just wanted you to know. How special of you to call. You have definitely made my day. I was afraid you were calling about Brad acting out. Why would I be doing that? Ah, yes. Why indeed? And Mary Jane, I'm sorry to keep going on like this. Please don't be. You've made my day, Millie. The other children are following Brad's lead. At first, a couple of them made remarks, but Brad seemed unfazed. Then the balance turned and some of the other kids started befriending Carr, too. The classroom is a much better place now. Thanks again for raising such a fine boy. And have a great weekend. And you. Mary Jane quickly called Lonnie to share the great news. That night, she went to Brad's room and listened to her son describe how difficult it was to take the first step and how good it felt when he connected with Carr.
Other than the gift of unconditional love, the greatest gift you can give a child is an understanding of her or his power to choose. The weight thing finally gets attention.
Lonnie and Mary Jane were having a late breakfast. Brad and Sarah had left for school an hour before, and Grandma was already at the senior center, located 2 blocks from her new home. Lonnie didn't have an early class or work at the hospital, and Mary Jane responded to her morning sickness by deciding to take a personal day. So they were taking advantage of the opportunity to just be there and talk. They were living their it. Mary Jane, you said something the other day that caught me off guard. Have you noticed anything different about me in the last couple of months? You're looking better every day. Other than that, you have been there for me when I needed you the most. Thanks, honey. Have you noticed that the waist on my pants is cutting into my stomach and my belt is on the last notch? No, not really. I'm very much aware of the weight I have gained, although I'm relieved to learn that some of my weight gain can be ascribed to pregnancy. Maybe your body's adjusting to the loss of the high-energy fishmonger life. Your job was like an all-day aerobics class. Now you spend hours sitting in a classroom instead of being on your feet at the market. That could be the reason, but it's new for me and I don't like it. Having a baby on the way and working with you on our IT has gotten me thinking about health. Every time we talk about our key values, health is at the top of the list. You could say that health is at the heart of our IT. We both agree that staying as healthy as possible is something we owe each other, our children, and ourselves. It's a way to honor this wonderful life for which we're so grateful. So I overheard you talking with Janelle about a diet she found successful. I think you used the word fish. Would you mind calling her and getting the details? If she has something that works, I want to know about it, as long as it isn't too weird. Is this the fish diet where you eat nothing but salmon? I don't think I could handle all that fish after so many years staring them in the eye. Not that kind of fish, silly. Our kind of fish. So help me out here, Mary Jane. I don't like the feel of this belt in my gut, and it seems like I'm giving up if I purchase larger clothing. I've always been on the skinny side. This is new for me. I'll call her today and talk to her in more detail about her diet. I've been meaning to take her up on her offer to school me on her diet for my own reasons, so this'll be a good time to follow up.
The fish diet.
Janelle and Mary Jane met in the lobby of First Guarantee and walked down to Eddie's for lunch. They had each arranged things at the office so that they could take a little extra time and wouldn't have to rush through their meal. "You started something when you mentioned that you keep your weight in a healthy range and don't just eat carrots. Not only do you have my full attention, but you have Lonnie's attention also. It seems that the life of a student has redirected some of the calories he used to burn up while on his feet at the market to his midsection. A solution to the battle of the bulge might be worth millions, Janelle, but I'd settle for maintaining a healthy weight while pregnant and losing 15 pounds after the baby is born. So tell me, what have you got? A new secret diet? No protein, high protein, no fat, high fat, low carb, high carb, all vegetables, all fruit, 10 gallons of water a day, only radishes before lunch? Not to worry, Mary Jane. My plan for healthy eating doesn't focus on food. You see, Janelle, my body mass index puts me in the obese category for the first time in my life. What do you mean it doesn't focus on food? Well, like I said, my ideas don't have much to do with food. The no-food diet. That's a novel idea. Oops, I'm getting cynical again. Just stay with me a minute. What do you know about the results of most weight loss plans? You lose weight, and then you gain it back, plus a couple pounds. After it's all over, you feel like a loser, but not the kind of loser you hoped for. That's accurate in over 95% of people who diet, Mary Jane. But let me reframe what you have just said. You said that most diets work, at least for a while. Think about it. Any given diet may not be all that healthy, but most of them work. So we all know what to do to lose weight. I believe the answer lies not in what you do. You'd have to live on Mars not to know what to do. You and I probably have more knowledge about eating healthfully than we have about our college majors. My major was communications, and it is no contest, Janelle. I believe the solution lies in who you are being while you do what you do with food. And the who you need to be is where we turn to fish. But don't you also need some diet stuff? You know, some rules? I do have a crib sheet of principles. It's sort of a list of some of the things we know about dieting and healthy living. I want to stay away from the extremes because you can't maintain extremes. Do you want to work with me on this and be my first student? It could be fun, and I've always wanted to flesh out these thoughts more fully. This is a great opportunity. Absolutely. I speak for myself and Lonnie. Mary Jane slipped her journal out of her tote bag and began noting the wisdom of weight loss and healthy living as they brainstormed together.
Healthy weight control wisdom, the doing. 1. Exercise 5 or 6 days a week for 30 minutes or more and exercise intensely for part of that time. 2. Lift weights 1 or 2 days a week. 3. Do most of the grocery shopping on the perimeter of the store where the fresh foods are kept. 4. Expect occasional slips as a part of life. 5. Always eat breakfast. 6. Eat 4 or 5 times a day and balance protein and low glycemic, sugar density carbohydrates so as not to create highs and lows during the day. You know what to eat. 7. Eat nothing that is hydrogenated, avoid bad fats, you know what they are, and be sure to get the good fats like omega-3 and 6 naturally in fish or flax or in supplements. 8. Weigh yourself often and keep a chart. 9. Treat yourself once in a while with a small portion of your favorite food. This is eating healthy, not torture. 10. Find little ways to add exercise during the day, such as parking a long way from the door or using the stairs. 11. Watch carefully what food comes into the house and make tough decisions at the threshold. 12. Give the Girl Scouts money, but don't take their cookies. 13. Build non-sedentary activities, such as bike riding or walking, into the family schedule.
That was fun. It's amazing how much we know about this subject just by being alive and aware. Every popular magazine has a monthly section on diet and health. Every morning news program has special episodes on health and diet once or twice a year. We really do already know a great deal. The list is just for those who want a list, added Janelle.
The next part is what makes any diet effective. Since you're the one who introduced me to the most important part of my plan for weight control, a plan I've used for 5 years with great success, I'll let you make a guess. Does it have anything to do with little creatures that swim in the sea? Bingo! The secret to maintaining any diet is not so much what you do, but who you are being while you do what you do. And you're the expert. Give it a try, and we'll compare notes later. I'll leave you to your journaling now. Say hi to Lonnie. Bye.
Healthy Weight Control Wisdom, a way of being.
Lonnie, I talked with Janelle about her weight control ideas. As I talked with her, a number of things became clear. Is this a good time to talk? Are you kidding? I feel my belt digging into my stomach. Save me! We live in the most weight-conscious generation in all of history. We know more about weight loss and have more special foods than any other generation. And we're the heaviest generation and getting heavier every day. One thing Janelle and I agree on is that the most important purpose of a healthy weight control plan is not to lose weight. It's to learn how to maintain the weight you want. Quick loss and quick gain does no one any good and teaches failure. So we thought we'd create a list of the wise elements of weight control and then focus on implementing and maintaining them. We all know volumes about weight loss, and some of us have proven that by losing hundreds and even thousands of pounds during the course of our lives. We have to learn how to be while we are dieting. We know what to do, but not how to be. And that's where the fish philosophy comes in. First, let me show you what we brainstormed about the doing. And Mary Jane reviewed her list with Lonnie. I really like this treat yourself part. You and Janelle are right. It's amazing how much we know about weight control. So what is the fish philosophy part? That's up to us. We had to discover that for ourselves. I thought this was going to be simple. It is simple. Janelle says I'm an expert on fish, so you most certainly are as well. Let's do it together and start with play.
Play keeps life interesting.
We could make a game out of this, said Lonnie. We could have fun earning points, awarding prizes, and kidding around. I can see a fun scorecard in the refrigerator and the whole family participating. We could find some new fun ways to exercise, Mary Jane added. I could learn how to rollerblade, so we could do it together. I've always wanted to do that.
I've always wanted to learn how to dance.
We could take one of those dancing classes at the community center. Then we could go dancing. Lonnie, I love to dance. I didn't think you were interested. You mean to tell me you simply don't know how?
Yep. I guess this plan is already paying off. And you were a communications major.
Real conversations are the building blocks of relationships. Relationships are the cornerstones of life.
Yes, I've already been reminded of that this week. Let's continue.
We could get one of those sleek strollers for the baby so we can fast walk or run with him.
What do you mean, him? Lonnie smiled and shrugged. Then he suggested,
and we could approach the whole process lightheartedly, not make it too serious. Whatever we're doing, we could try to make it fun.
Sounds like a great start. What about make their day?
Make their day provides mystery.
We could look for creative ways to support each other, started Lonnie. We can collect inspirational quotes and surprise each other with them. We can remind each other of the stakes involved and ask each other how we want to be supported. We can create a family savings plan, and when it reaches a certain amount, we could join the Queen Anne Hill Health Club.
Who are you being while you're doing what you are doing? Be there, a critical success factor.
Lonnie, I've been thinking a lot about the be there and choose your attitude as they relate to healthy living. I believe that success in weight control is mostly about staying in the present moment and making good attitude choices.
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
Let me just focus on be there. After I met with Janelle, I sat for a while and jotted a few thoughts in my journal. I began thinking about the times when I ate poorly and knew it. Here, look at my list. Words that describe me when I am eating poorly and know it. Emotional. Anxious. Fast. Nervous. Self-pitying. On the run. Angry. Frustrated. Hurt. Avoiding. Medicating.
Now, take anxiety as an example. Anxiety goes away if doing and being are in the same space. You feel anxious when you're in one place doing something, but your mind is somewhere else. That anxiety goes away if you can be fully in the moment. That's be there, Lonnie. It's the key.
I see your point.
Nervous. Not present. On the run. Not present. Self-pity. Lives in the past and future.
Frustrated. Lives in the past and future.
Do you see the pattern? The thing we call emotional eating is really unconscious eating. Emotional eating can't occur if you're being fully present. Emotion generally comes from things that have happened or things that you're concerned might happen. It can only occur if you're doing the eating in the present but being in the past or the future. Once you bring doing and being together, the emotional part can't exist and you're fully conscious. Does that make sense?
It makes a ton of sense. We can make a discipline of being in the present and thus avoid much of life's unnecessary anxiety, at least while eating. We can create ways to become fully conscious while we eat.
Our response to emotional cravings can be to bring ourselves into the now. We can be there for each other and on call 24/7 to support each other, not as a critic, but as a partner.
What's the difference?
Well, a critic or a judge would say, "Are you sure you want to eat that?" A partner would ask, "Are you in the present?" The energy must be natural, but we can help each other stay conscious. And we can talk about what we're modeling for the children and include them in our conversations about a healthy lifestyle. We can work at eating without television in the background and unplug the telephone. We can sit down and eat slowly with nothing other than conversation. And we can be aware that when we read the newspaper while eating, we're bringing all the emotion of the world's problems to the table as well.
Choose your attitude, the source of power.
Lonnie, I have some favorite lines from a Mary Oliver poem, but I'd like to represent our attitude. I've noticed when I go downstairs to use the treadmill, I use the treadmill. When I put on my walking shoes and go out the front door, I walk. These are the lines. One day, you finally knew what you had to do and began.
You've nailed it, darling. It is all about taking the first step, about beginning. I heard someone say that a project started is usually finished. The hard part is taking the first step. We can choose an attitude of proactivity. We can choose to begin. I have another suggestion, Mary Jane. Why don't we become students of healthy living? We can take on an attitude of learning.
I accept your amendment. Let's go for a walk. I can still do that.
That would be fun, my dear.
That's the point, my dear.
Shall we begin?
As soon as I put on my shoes.
A fish diet is any healthy diet sustained by the natural energy of the fish philosophy.
Over the next few weeks, Lonnie and Mary Jane crafted a way of living that would promote health and honor life. They worked hard to keep it simple and used what they had learned from their fish experiences. They agreed that a basic list of things to do was important, but it was even more important to think deeply about who they were being while they did these things. They kept the two lists in their office upstairs and shared reading material, ideas, and insights. Lonnie began working out at lunchtime in the university gym, and he often cornered people and asked what they did, why they did it, and who they were being while they did what they were doing. These conversations became a source of new inspiration, and the body of information grew.
The maternity ward.
Lonnie and Mary Jane sat in the hospital room holding hands and waiting for 5 centimeters dilation.
How you doing?
I'm ready to have a baby. I should be blowing up balloons or doing something productive with all this heavy breathing.
I'm glad you still have a sense of humor.
Do you love me?
I love you.
A nurse walked in, took a look under the sheet for a minute, and said, "Let's go, folks. It's showtime." Lonnie was scrubbed and ready, so he meekly followed the entourage into the delivery room. 4 hours later, they were back in Mary Jane's room, looking intently at the sleeping Beth Ann. They sat holding hands and thinking about how wonderful a moment can be, and vowing to be present for many more of life's moments.
Fish for life. We all long for a primary relationship that lifts us up in a way that's not possible alone. We want to create in our lives a two that is bigger than one plus one. There is a special form of happiness that can be experienced only as two. We often think about our life partners in the following ways. Someone with whom to share life's little treasures, a sunset, a child's fragile first step, or a poem. A shoulder to cry on when life overwhelms us, and a voice to remind us of the positive futures possible in times of doubt. A best friend. Someone who knows us, warts and all, and still loves us. A lover with whom sex is an important part, but only a part of intimacy. A ready hug. Having someone to share one's life with may be one of the few universal longings, but meeting Mr. or Ms. Right is only a part of the equation. Happy arranged marriages expose the contradiction daily. There is, in fact, some old wisdom that can strengthen any relationship and take a strong primary relationship to heights unimagined. This wisdom has been called by many names over the centuries. We call it the fish philosophy and recognize that it begins, not ends, with commitment, a commitment to fish for life. Commitment comes at the beginning of a great relationship. A Fish for Life Discussion Guide.
I have been told that the fish books are often used by study groups, and so with this audio program, I want to anticipate and welcome such a use. The following material is presented to facilitate partner, family, or reading group discussions, as well as to provide a review for the individual who wants to take the ideas deeper. I hope this guide will help you find creative ways to put the fish philosophy to work in your life. Whether you want to bring a little more fun into your family life or find ways to serve those close to you or make memories for grandchildren, this discussion guide has been prepared for you. Perhaps what you could take away will be an understanding that life occurs in a series of moments that you are either present for or not. It might just be that the measure of a life is in part the degree to which you were present. And if you want to transform the very foundation upon which your family or relationship is built, that is also possible. If you are using this with your family, it is possible you will come to see that the biggest legacy you can leave your children is an understanding of the power of choice. If you are using this discussion guide with a spouse, partner, or friend, this experience will in fact be an act of relationship building. There is no better way to feel the infinite power of integrity than in the moment we make a conscious choice of attitude. When we learn that the attitudes we have at the moment are the ones we are choosing, a door will open that is hard to close. Of course, the best way to teach any of these ingredients is to model them and discuss our choices in real conversations.
Background of the fish philosophy.
The fish philosophy can be found in healthy and productive workplaces, homes, and relationships all over the world. For example, the fish philosophy has thrived at Southwest Airlines for more than 25 highly successful years. They don't call it that there. It is simply their impressive culture. The ingredients of the fish philosophy were first published in the book Fish. They are play, make their day, be there, and choose your attitude. Documentary filmmakers from Charthouse Learning first coined the names of these ingredients as we edited footage from the fish market. Today, these four ingredients are the standard by which we gauge the livability of any workplace, a school, a phone center, a hospital, a bank, a plant, a fish market, or an insurance company. The right mixture assures a great place to work, even if the work itself is not all that pleasurable.
Specific fish. Ingredient discussion questions.
Use the following discussion questions to initiate conversation about the fish philosophy. Find a question that has some energy and follow it where it takes you, remembering that the fish philosophy is something that must be discovered in order to have the energy required to make a difference. The best attitudes to take into this conversation are hope, curiosity, wonderment, and openness. Play. Carry a light heart wherever you go. How might I be an instrument of lightheartedness? Is there a smile in my voice? Do we have fun in our family? When? Do we value fun? Do we have fun as friends? How do we respond to someone who is always serious? Are we able to avoid getting too serious about things that really don't deserve that kind of energy? Do we know how to take something seriously while at the same time not taking ourselves too seriously? Are we using levity as a way of avoiding real conversations? Play can be overdone and used as an escape from difficult and important conversations. Do we see the natural joy in life?
Make their day. A great gift is the gift of positive engagement.
Whose day will I make today? When did someone else last make my day? How might the way I live my life be a source of inspiration for others? If my life could teach, what would the first lesson be? What memories did I create for my children today? How will I make someone's day brighter today? Who goes unnoticed in my world? Is there a way to bring special attention to those who toil in the background of my life? People who greatly affect the quality of our lives by keeping the floors clean, the streets safe, and the food on the shelves could use a kind word once in a while. What am I doing to make the world a better place? What do my children and grandchildren remember about their time with me? You never know when you're making a memory. You can know when you are being fish.
Be there. Amazing things can happen when you learn to be where you are.
Where am I right now? Where's my attention? What are the currents wandering through my mind? Are my mind and body in the same place? Where do I want my attention? What is the impact of my be there decision? Am I one place at a time, doing one thing at a time, or do I try to do too many things at once? Is it true that even if I multitask, I can still do only one thing at a time? Do people know when my attention is somewhere else? What do I think of Brad's discovery about sitting down with Grandma rather than talking to her standing up? Have I ever experienced the same sort of thing? What cues can we give one another to promote the now?
Choose your attitude. The attitude you have right now is the one you are choosing. Choose wisely, for your life depends on it.
What attitudes are my favorites? What attitudes are most common in my life? Do I like those attitudes? How do I shift from one attitude to another? Do I have a system to remind me to do frequent attitude checks? Are there quick ways to assume an attitude? Do I have a default attitude? Do I separate feelings and attitudes? What are some ways to get out of an attitude? What attitudes in others are like fingernails on a blackboard?
General discussion questions.
The following are some discussion questions that can be used to initiate important conversations with those you love. They are meant to provide possibilities from which to choose rather than be discussed in any particular order. You might simply use them to provoke your own important questions. Remember that these conversations need to be both real and fierce. This is not just talk or chit-chat. These are the conversations that build a relationship with their courage, compassion, and candor. Commit to having one real conversation a week with the people who are most important to you. What does it mean for us to have a conversation that is real and fierce? Are there subjects we have been avoiding? What is our vision for this family, partnership, or friendship? Do we understand our it? Is it serving us well? What are we creating with our life together? How can we help each other stay in the present? What attitudes would we like to have present in our life together? And what are some ways we can make that happen? What are the 7 basic values that sit at the heart of the life we are building together? List them. Inventory their presence and proportion in your life. Does their presence and proportion match your sense of appropriate balance? Would you like to see more or less emphasis on any of these values? Discuss goals for the next year, 6 months, day. What are you willing to commit to and with whom? Write it down. Come back here often. Your life is at stake. The wisdom contained in the fish philosophy can also be found in each of us. You have everything you need to begin. Go fish for life.
Acknowledgements.
We would like to first acknowledge our families. Harry would like to thank Mary, his wife, and Rachel and David, his children, for the joy they bring him and the unwavering support they have provided as he has taken fish on the road. John would like to recognize his wife, Gay, and his daughters, Tori and Kelsey. They have been the constants in his life as he has dealt with the challenges of providing leadership to his company, Charthouse. And I would like to thank my wife, Janelle, for her support, love, and wisdom. She is the first person who reads what I write, and her comments are always spot on. My daughters, Beth, Melissa, and Melanie, are no longer under the same roof with us, but I feel their presence daily and their enthusiasm, love, and support have been brilliant. And speaking of brilliant, my high-tech son-in-law, Paul, keeps me on my toes by reminding me what it means to live a full, creative, loving, and productive life. All I can say about our publisher, Hyperion, is wow. This is the fourth time I have acknowledged their contribution, and each time I feel more gratitude and respect for the amazing work they do. The great folks we work with at Hyperion are Bob Miller, Ellen Archer, Jane Cummins, Mark Chait, Kara Hepford, Karina Harmon, Jill Sanson, Sharon Kidder, Mike Rentis, and Adrian James. They are all magnificent, but the guy I want to single out for special recognition is the extraordinary Will Schwabe. Will, your patient guidance, wise insights, enthusiasm, and thoughtfulness are cherished. You set the standard, Will, and there is so much I have learned under your guidance. I consider my time with you precious. And I'd also like to thank Paul Rubin, who is instrumental in these wonderful audio programs. One of our great decisions was to choose Margaret McBride as an agent. She has been and still is remarkable. We are aware that during the last year she has felt the very pressures we write about in this audio program, as her aging parents consumed large amounts of her time and energy. Our respect for her only grew as she gracefully dealt with some of life's biggest challenges. We want to express our appreciation to you, Margaret, for your fabulous contributions, and to also send our love and support to you in these difficult times.
This has been a Hyperion Audiobooks production of Fish for Life, A Remarkable Way to Achieve Your Dreams. Written by Stephen C. Lundeen, Ph.D., John Christensen, and Harry Paul. And read by Karen McHugh and Sarah Krieger, with an introduction and conclusion by Stephen C. Lundeen. Executive producer Maya Thomas. Produced and directed by Paul Rubin. Production supervised by Linda Ross. Fish for Life is also available in hardcover from Hyperion.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.